lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth, in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is it? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sin. For consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem, O Israel. Redeem Israel, God, out of all his troubles. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for, Lord, your spirit we feel here tonight, God. Lord, for these people that's come together, God, Lord, to hear a portion of your word, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I can just get across what you gave me, Lord. We'll thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Taylor's songs taught all about qualities of God, what the Lord, what Jesus can do for us. So that's what my title is tonight, God is Our. And I just picked out, I saw a few things in this chapter that God truly is. David's writing this psalm. It's not a real popular psalm. You know, we could have went to Psalm 23. Everybody's heard it hundreds of thousands of times. But in Psalm 25, we see that, you know, God is our pardon. He says it like four or five times in this one chapter. In verse 1, he lifts up his soul unto the Lord. You know, David, he asked the Lord to pardon his iniquity. Verse 18, he says, forgive all my sins. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in John 1:7-10, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, now here's where David was. David has messed up before this. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So in this whole psalm right here, David, it's a confidence in God is what this prayer is. It's confidence in God. Now, David, he understood the importance of getting sin out of his life. We all know David, as King David, he had a great life, a great man of God, but he did have that one thing with Bathsheba. You know, he decided he wanted her to be his. He put Uriah, after he found out she was with child, he put Uriah on the forefront so that Uriah was killed. And, you know, David carried this around with him for a good while until Nathan the prophet came to him and gave him the story. He said, you know, David, there was this rich man. He had all the flock or the sheep or whatever it was that he wanted. But yet there was this poor man who had one lamb. And he told David, he said, that a traveler came through and a rich man dressed the one man's one lamb instead of giving one of his. And boy, it made David mad. David was ticked, the Bible said. It said it angered David. And Nathan said, David, that man is you. And that's when David repented. You know, we got to repent. It's important that we repent. God is our pardon. The prodigal son, when he came home, he asked his father for forgiveness. Peter went out and wept bitterly after denying Jesus. We have all these examples in the Bible. So what about us? You know, Jesus, he keeps saying over and over again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the world, they offer so many ways to get to heaven, but we know there's only one. And if you're here tonight and you don't know there's only one way, y'all, there's only one way. It's through Jesus. You know, Taylor sung about him. We prayed to him tonight. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is our way to heaven. So, you know, to start with, we see in this chapter here that he's our pardon. We also see that God is our protection. That's good right there. He's our protection. This is important because Jesus says for now, here it says right here in verse 3, I believe it is, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. For thou art the God of my salvation. You know, we can't be ashamed of him. We need to be bold with our salvation. We need to let the world know. Because the Bible says, for whosoever be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So we cannot be ashamed. We also, he protects us from our enemies. Now this is important. As we heard prayer requests after prayer requests, we heard about people who are just, their lives are not where we want them to be. You know why? Because Satan's trying to attack those people. That's Satan's main goal. He knows his eternal fate, if you will. He knows where he's going, and he wants to take so many people with him. And, you know, we've all heard people say they don't party, they don't have a time. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be forever torture, burning forever, smelling that total darkness. I just can't imagine it. It just tears me apart to know that. But, so we see that, so I think about the people in the Bible who had people who hated them. Joseph. We think of Joseph, you know. Joseph was his father's chosen son. He's the one that they loved the most out of all his brothers. And the Bible says that his brothers saw how much that the father loved them or loved him, that it made them hate him even more. Isn't that horrible? To know that someone you're loved and your brothers hate you, and what they meant for good or what they meant for bad, we know that God turned into a good thing. He was sold into slavery. He ended up being in Potiphar's right hand, second in command. He was able to really save the whole nation because he was the one who saw that the famine was coming. So he knew that they had to save up during those years of plenty. And then during years of famine, they had all that stores, his brothers and them having to come bow to them. And they saw that he was right. But he was hated by them. I'm going to talk about the wise men because this is kind of mine. You know, when the wise men left Herod, when the wise men heard about the star, when they saw the star, you know, they went to Herod and they were talking about Jesus. Word got back to Herod. And Herod had a bad plan in place. He wanted to kill Jesus. I can't imagine somebody wanting to kill a small child to start with. That blows me away. I just can't understand doing harm to children. But Herod told them, when you find this young child, bring word to me. I want to worship him also. So the wise men go on their way. They get to where they find Jesus. The Bible says they find Jesus and his mother in the house. They say young child, so we know it's not a baby. When they get there, it says they worship him and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, we're good at worshiping Jesus, but what do we give him? You know, are we giving him gifts, or are we giving him of our time, of our talents, of our treasures, or are we truly giving to God? But the Bible goes on to say that Herod wanted those three wise men, those wise men, ever how many it was, to return back to him to tell them where Jesus was. But the Bible says that they had a dream, that they shouldn't do that, so they went the other way. So once again, God was a protector. He looked out for the Son of God, you know, because Jesus as a baby, he wouldn't have been able to protect himself, but God looked out for it. I'm so thankful for that. So we have him as our protector. We also have him, Psalm 141, back to David. After he's running from Saul, you know, Saul's jealous because God showed David favor. David wrote, but my eyes, in Psalm 141, but my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave my soul not destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets. Wist thou, I will escape. So David prayed for the Lord protect him. Are we doing that? Are we doing that for our children? Are we praying over them enough that the devil will not be able to get near them? You know, it's important that our children follow us because I've told you before, the world don't care about your children. The world, devil, they don't care about your children's well-being. Their soul is going to last forever and forever and forever. You know, we got to be that stand in the gap for them. So we have him as our protection. You know what? Everybody's not your friend. Everybody who claims to be your friend, that's your friend. They don't want what's best for you. Thirdly, we see God as a teacher. Verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. We think about all the people. I thought about that as it said that God will teach. Verse 9 says, the meek will he guide, and the meek will he be teaching the way. Verse 8, good and upright is Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. I thought about the people in the Bible that he used. I thought about Rahab. Rahab was a harlot, if you will, just to put it nicely. But that's who God used to protect those spies when they were going into Jericho. Of all people, none of us would have chosen Rahab. She would not even been probably in the top 50 choices if we would have chosen someone, because we would have chosen someone who looks more like us. We wouldn't have wanted to choose that sinner, if you will, because, you know, sometimes we have the bad habit of looking down on people in the world instead of really trying to help them. But we see that he used Rahab. We also see that he used Moses. Moses tried to even tell God, God, I'm not worthy. You need to use Aaron. Aaron's a whole lot better well-spoken than I am. I stutter. I won't be able to get the point across. But again, we find it, you know, God's ways are not our ways. You know, his ways are way higher than our ways. Then we see Jesus as a teacher. Jesus, for 3 years, taught his disciples how to live. And what he taught them was not, again, the way we think. He told them to love your enemies. My goodness. Boy, that's rough right there. Because I tell you what, I know y'all probably think everybody loves me, but everybody don't like me. I'm shocked by that. I've had people to call me bad names as they walk out of my office at school, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe they said that about me. I'm nice. But everybody don't like me. And I know Gavin and David are thinking, well, we don't like you much anyway. But really, y'all got me off my thoughts. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to pray for them to use you despitefully. You know, some people just use you. Use you for what they can get out of you. Then they done with you. They don't want anything else to do with you. He told them that you got to love your neighbor. And then he told them, your neighbor just sitting this one right here. It's those you come in contact with. And again, you know, that's sometimes hard because sometimes people just get on your nerves. You out and about, and they just get on your nerves. But God's ways are not our ways. So he taught them these things. And he provided us an example of what we need to know about what he taught us. It's all here. You know, this is not, I read this one day, this is not everything God knows. This is what he wanted us to know. You know, this is what he thought we needed to know. But he gave us this, but yet, I say this every time I speak. We don't read this enough. We read everything else. We have probably, all of us who have Facebook or whatever our social media of choice is, we probably picked up our phone and looked at it 10, 15, 20 times a day just to keep up, especially if we saw something cool on there or something, some kind of hot gossip about somebody. I bet we went back to that page over and over again. Yeah, I hear the guilty people. That's just how we are. But we hadn't read this. And you know, the preacher said a few weeks ago that if we spent 30 minutes a day reading the Bible, we could read it through in 1 year. But yet, we spend all our time on Facebook and reading stuff that don't matter. Next, we see God as a leader. It says in verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. It says in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Think about Noah. In Noah 6:22, after Noah built the ark, it said that Noah did all that the Lord commanded. Every one of us in here, except for Terry Brooks, we would have skipped some of those steps because we thought we would have known a better way to do it. And that's just how we are. We thought, well, I can skip that. It don't need to be exactly those cubits. I think the window needs to go a little bit to the right. We would have did something different. But Noah followed exactly what the Lord told him to do. And in Peter, when Paul's writing to Peter, Paul says that while Noah was basically doing this, he was preaching to other people. So he was doing the right thing and preaching to other people. And here we are cutting corners because we know a better way to do things. That's sad. Abraham, by faith, when he was called to go out into the place which he should have to receive, he should receive after an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. We know that Moses removed his shoes when he was on holy ground at the burning bush. We know that the Lord led them by a cloud of fire, a fire by night, cloud by day. Joshua, we talk about Joshua a lot. Joshua walked around those walls, again, exactly what God told him to do. He didn't cut corners. He didn't say, oh, I'm not doing it six times. On that last day, on the first time around, he just didn't start shouting. He did exactly as he was prescribed to do because he respected what the Lord said. He respected God as a leader. Daniel continued to pray when he was going to be thrown into the lion's den because he had enough respect and belief in God as his leader to do that. Ruth forsook all she knew, all of her family, to go back to with Naomi because she wanted to be with her God and her people. Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Son of God because she was that pure virgin at that time. And God knew that Mary would go through with it. Many of us would be like, oh, no, I ain't having it. And all us guys in here know if our wife, she came and told us that she was expecting and we knew we had nothing to do with it, we would have been upset and we would not have done as Joseph. We would have put her away. We would have divorced her. We would have walked away because God knew that Mary was the one who could handle it. Finally, we see God as our comforter. Verse 16 through 18 says, Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of thy distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. So here we see God as our comforter. How many have been comforted by the Lord before? All of us. Continuously. He comforts us all the time. That's what makes him one great thing about the Lord is that he comforts us. He comforted Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. He said, he'll live again. You know, that's comfort to know. You know, all of us have lost loved ones, and we know they're in heaven. And, you know, it's a comfort to know that they're in heaven, that they're safe. They're secure in the arms of Jesus. It's good to know that they're not suffering anymore, that life here was hard on them. And you know, for some reason, the Lord is so good to us. You know, I think about people in my life that have passed on. And, you know, you don't remember that end part as much as time goes on. You remember the good times. The Lord erases a lot of that bad, and it's just a comfort to know. But the Lord told them that he'll live again. Jesus also, he said, and I will pray the Father, he told the disciples, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and you shall be with and shall be with you or be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So that was one thing about when Jesus died. You know, when Jesus died, he was able to send the Holy Spirit, and it could be everywhere. It could be here. It could be across town. It could be in Los Angeles. He can be everywhere at one time. He can be where I need him. He can be where Jackie needs him. He can be where David needs him. He's everywhere. He's an all-knowing, all-powerful God. And, you know, that's just a few things that the Lord showed me in this chapter about what God is. And, you know, as Taylor was singing, I thought, wow, he's a provider. He provides all our needs. We don't lack for nothing. I think we're too blessed sometimes, and that's why we're spoiled. I was thinking this week, you know, if Dabo was speaking here tonight, or if Sellers, what's his name, Lenore Sellers, if he was going to be here, I bet this place would have been packed out, because the world's looking for other things. They're not looking for Jesus. And it's important for us to be that. We need to be that light for them. We need to constantly remind them. Taylor, if you want to come back, you can sing a song. You able to sing one more? But I just want to give you a few things that God is. God is those things to us. And it's important to remember those things. Sorry. Y'all can stand. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are, God. Lord, that you're our pardon, God. It's just so great to know, Lord, that we can be in heaven with you one day if we've trusted in your blood, God. Lord, if we've asked for forgiveness, Lord, if you covered our blood with your sin, God. And for that comforter, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord. God, that you'll lead us if we'll let you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. As far as announcements, we're going to look at the Christmas lights tomorrow. Be here at 6. And then Sunday morning, the adult classes are having breakfast during Sunday school. So come for that. If you haven't been coming to Sunday school, this is a great time to start. Come eat breakfast with us. We would love to have you. Any other announcements? No hearts and minds are clear? Great. Brother Jackie, will you dismiss us in prayer?